Hello, you know who it is, your bench-worthy guru, Ian Caleb, and I am here with, I've been away for a while, but I have been just binging so many shows that hopefully I have enough to where I will not have to be away from you all. I know you all miss this wonderful person that is going out, watching all these movies, letting you know what's worth your time and what isn't. Well, I'm back, and I have to confess, I don't know if I sound different than my other previous versions from last year, but this time around, I have a full studio set up, new microphone, so I'm testing it out. This is my first time using it, so I'm super excited, and I hope that we can get something from this. So, here again, Binge-Worthy Guru, what's that about? And checking out a show. You look at the first episode, you're like, oh, this is pretty good. Look at the second episode, and then it's nighttime. You know you should be in bed, but no, you're still watching that show because it is so good, it's so riveting that you do not want to do anything else. You have eaten too many bags of chips, or you didn't eat anything at all because you could not get up from your seat because the show is so good. But what happens? You get the post-binge depression, PBD. Good concept. Yeah, PDB. PDB. Post-binge depression, in that the show is over. You got to wait another year or so for the new season to come out. And there's just the guilt of just watching the show and just wasting your whole day. And then also being so wrapped up in the customers and wanting to know what's going to happen next. And, you know, you got to wait. And, you know, there's that period of like a week or two where you're like still amped up from the show. And hopefully you forget about it and then you're okay with waiting another year for the new season to come out if it's not canceled. So that's where I come in. I give you all those shows that you may not think you would like or did not know exist because they probably weren't advertised the way the rest of the shows are on TV that are more popular, but that does not make these shows any less binge-worthy. So I am the one that's watching any and everything and telling you what to look out for. I'm going to go in a different direction this time. I normally do Netflix shows, and I think I did a couple of Hulu shows. This is an Amazon Prime show, Amazon streaming service. So you do have to have Amazon Prime. If you're a student, you get a discount if you have an email address as a student. Otherwise, I think it's like a monthly or a yearly fee of, like, I guess $100 or so. And it's worth it because you get the music, you get the movies, and of course, you get those Prime shipping where it's typically free. But again, I'm not making any money off of Amazon, so I'm not going to spend too much time advertising the joys and benefits of having Amazon Prime. But I digress. So the name of the show is Fleabag. I'm going to tell you straight up, it's a British show. If you do not like British comedy, because I have noticed that British comedy is very different than American comedy. I can watch both, but I do tend to prefer British comedy because it's kind of a highbrowness to it. It's very intellectual. So there are certain jokes that I've learned in British comedy that, and I'm not saying Americans are not intelligent, but there's just certain things that you have to really understand the joke. And sometimes people may not like that because it requires you to think a bit more. And sometimes you just want to sit back and laugh. You don't want to think. But I do like that about British comedy. It tends to be a little bit more highbrow and a tad bit intellectual, depending on how you're looking at it. So this is a British comedy. So if you know off the bat you're not into that, I don't even want to waste your time watching Fleabag because you're probably not going to like it. The show came out in 2016. I just discovered it this year. And it seems like season one came out in 2016. It was six episodes. Then they skipped a couple of years, and season two just came out in 2019. The person who created and stars in the show, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she's Fleabag. What I just found out also, is that she's the creator, or somehow she's affiliated with, I think, the creator of Killing Eve, which I also will be doing a podcast on, also episode on, because that was a great show as well. And now that I think about it, I can see how she would be affiliated with both of these shows because they're very, very quirky and very distinct. One thing about the show that, let me give you an idea of what the show is about. So Fleabag is this this 30-something chick, early 30s, who is, I don't know if I want to say finding herself or just trying to get her life together. She started a cafe with her best friend that unfortunately isn't doing well financially. Something happens to the best friend. I'm not going to tell you what. I'm not going to tell you where she is or what's going on, but something happens to the best friend. She's trying to get funding to keep the cafe afloat, and things are just not going well. She has a very, 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 very dysfunctional family. So her sister, super successful, but very socially inept, very awkward. And then her dad, who recently lost his wife, their mother, is very weird towards how he treats them. And I'm just going to say weird because, again, I don't want to give away too much, but they definitely have a weird relationship. And what I like about the show is I think that kind of shapes how Phoebe's character, Fleabag's character, is. And I'm calling her Fleabag because when I look at the subtitles on Amazon, they literally call her Fleabag. Like, that's her character name. So I just call her Fleabag. At first, I was like, why are they calling her Fleabag? Why is the show named Fleabag? And now that I'm thinking about it as I'm talking to you guys, I kind of realize it because she's kind of, well, for starters, she's a slut. I mean, and I'm not trying to shame women by saying that. No, she really is a slut. She's very promiscuous. And she has no problem admitting to that. The show is very sexual. Not sexual to the point where it's off-putting, but it does have sex scenes in it, particularly with the main character, Fleabag. I don't really see it happening with any other characters on the show. And basically, it's just going through just life in general, her trying to find herself. And we find out later on in the season why she is the way she is. And then also with the dysfunction, we understand why the father is the way he is and why the sister behaves the way she does. And it's like they all feed off of each other's energy based on how they treat one another. And that's why they are the way they are. Another thing that she does with this show that I like, now, I can't think of too many shows right now where they break the fourth wall. Sex in the City, I know Carrie Bradshaw, her character, she would break the fourth wall and talk to us, talk to the TV. I'm trying to think if there's any other shows that do that, and off the top of my head, I can't think of any. She breaks the fourth wall in a way that is, House of Lies, I believe, with Don Cheadle. With Don Cheadle, when he does it, that's Showtime. I can't believe I haven't done a podcast on that yet. He breaks the fourth wall, but then everything around him stops. Like, everyone freezes while he says his monologue and that kind of thing. With her, it is the way it happens is so unique because she can be having a conversation with someone. She looks away at us and she tells us something and she goes right back to them. So it's like we are sitting at the table and she's having a sidebar with us. And she gives us backstory and things of that nature. And I think that's what makes the show so enjoyable, because when she breaks that fourth wall and says and does what she's doing, it kind of lets us into her world a little bit more. So I do like that about the show also. The show is known for its one-liners, very quirky one-liners that are really, really funny, and definitely lots of conflict. I enjoyed season two a lot because I think it just had a little bit more depth, and I like all the characters that they added to the show, and they came up with very complex issues and things of that nature, which I thought was pretty good. But it's a very, very cool but weird show. Like, for example, the sister has a stepson, and like the stepson has this obsession with taking a bath with her. And, you know, the sister's like, no, you can't come in the bathroom with me. Get out, get out. And like the kid is like, I think her stepson is close to 14 or 15. Nothing weird, but it's just quirky weirdness that just makes it just a delicious show to watch. What else can I say about that before I let you guys go? It's 27 minutes. It is indeed a comedy. In some cases, it can be considered a dark comedy, and I actually like dark comedies. So there are some scenes in there that might be a bit morbid, but not a huge big deal. Another quirk about her, and I hope I'm not spoiling it by saying this, I don't think it's a big deal, but she's kind of a klepto. Like, she has to take something no matter where she goes. And that there's one central theme. There's one thing that happens in the first episode that carries out based on something that she takes. And I'm just going to leave it right there. She's also an excessive drinker. And you know, so it's just she's just all over the place. And I'm sure in some points in our lives we can just kind of relate to just looking for external substances, you know, self-medicating or whatever, because we're trying to deal with some kind of hurt. And as you get through the season, you'll figure out where that hurt came from. And sometimes where our actions, the things that we did to hurt someone else, can affect how someone else chooses to treat you. And that sometimes that can be, it can backfire. And, you know, maybe the way I treated an ex and my sister or my mom or someone else knew about it, and now because of that, they're treating me a different way because of something that I did. So that's just kind of an example. Again, I don't want to give too much away. Outside of, oh, I almost forgot. This chick, what is her name? I want to say Olivia Coleman. Let me look. I was right. Olivia Coleman. I didn't see this movie, but I believe she just got an Oscar for being in The Favorite. And she plays Fleabag's stepmom, if you will, in this movie. She earns her paycheck. Great actress. Super funny. But when I tell you I hate her character with a passion that burns within, because she's very, very, very venomous. She's nice, nasty, very like, and I've had supervisors that were like this, where they say something and it's super nice. It seems nice because they're smiling, they're being perky, they're being super cool when they're saying it. But it's like, but what they're saying is so belittling, so diminishing, and you can't really, and after they walk away, you're like, did she just insult me just now? And she insults Fleabag and her sister in such a way that I swear you have to question, was it really a compliment or not? Because she does it so perfectly. I think that comes down to great writing and great acting, because the way she plays that character is great. Still hate the character, though. Like, after a while, I would like, I want to punch her in the face. She's such a dick. But because she's so nice, nasty with it, it's just that character that you love to hate. And I love her in this role because she just earns her paycheck. So that's it for me. That is that's our podcast for Fleabag. I definitely suggest you check it out. Again, it's really good. It's very quirky. And sometimes this is one thing I'm going to start saying on every podcast, because I offered a suggestion to a friend of mine, or not a friend of mine. I was on Facebook and I was offering a suggestion for a show. And he responded and said, okay, I just watched the first episode and it's garbage. Like, I can't finish it. And what I want to start saying is a rule. You don't have to do this because our time is precious, but I believe in a 3-episode rule. And I'm coming at you guys from an actor perspective. I'm coming at you guys from a writer perspective. Director, not so much. I've only directed a few things, but definitely acting and writing. I believe that I know what I'm talking about on this. And when it comes to any new show, especially the first season, the first 3 episodes, and I think I said this in a previous podcast, I can't recall, but the actors are feeling themselves. They're getting used to their castmates. They're getting used to their acting abilities or inabilities. They're getting used to the writing. So those first 3 episodes, and even as a writer, when you're writing for television, as I learned in my studies, is that the way the first 3 episodes are usually written, it's written in a way where, let's say, for instance, a new show comes out, and I watch it and I'm hooked, but you know, everyone else hasn't caught on yet. So the first 3 episodes are kind of slow, or they don't really do too much, because they're giving the viewers time. They're giving the ratings time to have people actually watch the show and want to continue the show. So you don't want to do too much in the first two, three episodes, because you want to have as many people watching it as possible. So those first 3 episodes tend to be a little bit slower. And if it's a good show, it should get better as the episodes progress. So I always tell people the 3-episode rule. Give any new show that you're watching 3 episodes. If after 3 episodes you don't like it, you most likely, you're not going to like it later on. Go ahead and jump ship. I tend to be a bit more loyal with shows. I will give a show an entire season, even if I don't care too much for it. If anything, I will maybe be on my iPad or doing something else, cooking or something like that while it's on. But I typically won't abandon it, because I just always have this funny feeling that it just might get good. And I've noticed on average, And when I tell you, I watch a lot of shows. And I have learned on average after the third episode, that's when things pick up and people are usually into it. I would never suggest judging a show off its first episode because it's the pilot. It's basic. Like it just is, unless it's a really, really, really good show, it's hard to walk away from it. You know, it's not walk away from, but it's hard to get hooked on the first episode unless it's a really good show. But that's my spiel. That's my high horse. The 3-episode rule. Give this show 3 episodes. And if you don't like it, move on. But if you do, you'll thank me. And with that being said, I have some more binging to do. And I will be churning out more of these episodes for you to binge and have shows to work towards and look at. And with that being said, I am Ian Caleb. Happy binging.